Good morning.
Well,
I'm Father Tyler Arts. I think some of you remember me from my stint here a few years ago when I was here for my diaconal assignment, like Deacon Ryan right now, in my last year of seminary as a transitional deacon. That was from 21 to 22. And now I am so full of joy to be back here as your pastor. I give thanks to God. Thank you. Thank you so much. As folks, after I learned of this assignment, and folks were asking me, what do you remember about St. Mary, or what are you looking forward to? And the thing that just stuck out to me that I kept telling people is my memory of the beauty of this parish, of all of you, the people. Your faith is so beautiful. And it's continued to inspire me. And even before I knew I was going to be sent here again, I would often bring that up when recalling my time here at St. Mary Pinckney. So I am just so full of gratitude to be here. And I have to thank, too, Father Dan, not only for his excellent leadership over this parish over the past 8 years and leading you all with a father's heart and true care for the flock, but also his personal support for me, just his gracious support to me in the last few months, preparing me well for this assignment. I was praying for all of you even before I knew where I might be going, wherever my next assignment might be. I was just praying for that parish and the people of the parish, and then to learn I'm coming here, it was just amazing because I knew for whom I was praying. I knew you guys. And I look around, and as I was greeting, many of you as you were coming in before Mass, I see a lot of familiar faces, so it'll be great to just, reintroduce myself to you. But there's so many new faces, and that's so exciting, and I can't wait to meet you. So continue to pray for me, dear brothers and sisters, as your new pastor, as I carry out the mission that to which the Lord has called me, and I will, of course, be holding all of you close in prayer. In our gospel this Sunday, we see our Lord Jesus sending out his disciples two by two. They've learned from him, and now they're ready for mission to boldly proclaim the kingdom of God. The power and mercy of God flow freely as many people are healed and delivered from the powers of darkness. As we read when the disciples return and they tell our Lord Jesus, even the demons are subject to your name. So it's no surprise the disciples were so excited when they returned. No wonder, too, Jesus tells them he'd seen Satan falling from the sky while they were gone. This mission of the 72 marks a dramatic escalation in God's plan of salvation, because now instead of having to contend with Jesus and his apostles only, the devil is seeing a lot more people driving out his minions in a lot more places. And of course, it would only keep growing. Now, brothers and sisters, this is our mission too. This is the same mission to which you and I have been called. You and I are part of the same 2,000-year mission of Christians whom Jesus has empowered to go out and announce the good news, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And not only proclaim the kingdom of God, but to truly usher it in as well, to make the kingdom of God present in our world, to push back the darkness of the evil one, push back the kingdom of darkness. Every one of us is called to enter that mission by virtue of our baptism, because recall at baptism, you and I were anointed priest, prophet, and king. And to be anointed a prophet means you and I are very much in the front lines for Christianity. You and I are very much in the front lines for Christianity to speak the truth, to live the gospel by our example, our way of life. And I know this is especially true for all of you laymen and women. I often will remind folks, us priests, clergy, in some ways, we don't face those same challenges that you do as laymen and women. You're the ones in the front lines that we're called to proclaim the kingdom, to, in fact, reclaim God's kingdom here on earth. Every time we forgive someone, we snuff out another fiery dart of the accuser of our brothers. Every time we reach out to give generously of our time, our resources to someone who's in need or hurting, we disarm the one who is a thief and whose only goal is to destroy. Every time we share the truth about God's love, we silence the father of lies. Every time we proclaim the truth in love, whether it's God's plan for human love and sexuality, or the dignity of human life, including the most vulnerable, the unborn, the aged, or stewardship of creation, whenever we hold fast to the truth, even when, in fact, especially when, it's difficult and we're faced with opposition. And that happens often very subtly these days. And I think more and more we're seeing this kind of opposition is right in front of our face. It's not even being hidden anymore. But very often still this opposition happens subtly, you know, in our workplaces or school or from friends or family or neighbors or even as consumers in the marketplace, that we hold fast to the truth when it's difficult. We usher in the kingdom of God. His kingdom breaks in. Remember, Jesus came to establish a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is not simply about uniting people under one faith or uniting in the church. Indeed, he does those things. But it involves defeating the kingdom of darkness. Defeating the kingdom of darkness, the world you and I live in. It may be easy to think at times, you know, I'm baptized, that's good. You know, I'm a son or daughter of the Father. And that's true. But that's not it. Our baptism also means, brothers and sisters, you and I have been transferred from one kingdom to another. We have been transferred from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness when we were born, to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God at our baptism. That when we were born into this world, someone else had a claim on us, the ruler of this world. That when you and I were born under his possession. We might not like to think that, but it's true. And that's why baptism is so important. That's why baptism is so important. Because baptism is more than mere ritual. You know, lest we think, well, you know, baptism is this nice ceremony that we do, and the priest or the deacon, pours water over the child or whoever it is, and we have some prayers, and that's nice. Oh, no. One of the reasons that we have, in fact, in the rite of baptism, a prayer of exorcism is because of this transfer from one kingdom to another. To say Satan is once again going to be defeated here. Satan is once again going to be defeated here by God's grace, and this child or whoever it is, an adult, will be transferred from his possession to the claim he had on us, to the kingdom of the Father, to the kingdom of God himself. And God now has a claim on us. And God looks upon us and says, "You are mine. You are mine. You belong to me." Proclaiming, in other words, you no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. That I am transferring you from that kingdom to my kingdom. And this is so important for us to understand, brothers and sisters, especially in light of this gospel this Sunday. That as Jesus is sending out his disciples, he's doing so not just to heal, not just to teach, not just to preach. He's sending them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to bring his kingdom, to have authority over the powers of darkness, and to establish the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, like the disciples sent out, this is our mission too. This is our mission too. Every day we're called not just to follow Jesus, but to do what he did. To do what he did, to proclaim the kingdom of God to a world that desperately needs it. And that's as he's sending them out, notice, what does Jesus say? He warns, "Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves." I am sending you like lambs among wolves. And we might ask, why would Jesus say that? And after all, we know a lamb among wolves will surely get devoured. Well, Jesus didn't want his disciples to get eaten. And he didn't want them to be pushovers or just to go out and get trampled on. But rather, the Lord says this is a warning to them about what they would encounter. Jesus knew that there would be those who are hostile to them and who would reject them and their message. And so he's preparing them, these Christian missionaries. He's preparing them for the rejection that will inevitably be theirs as emissaries of his kingdom, and so us too. And of course, this is a condition that's still present in our world. But the point is, this world, brothers and sisters, is desperately hurting and needs the kingdom of God to break in. You know, we know there's more loneliness than ever, more people, turning to all kinds of different forms of enslavement. But there are also hopeful signs as well that I must point out. There are so many hopeful signs in our world today. Maybe some of you have heard. Even in the last year, we've seen record numbers of people becoming Catholic. In our diocese, record numbers across this whole country, around the world. You may have seen across Europe and France, for example, a record number of people coming into the church this year. Secular Europe. In Africa, something like across the whole continent, like 7 million people becoming Catholic in just the last few years. It's truly astounding. Like, more people are turning toward God, turning toward religion. And we see this especially among whom? Young people. Young people, and especially young men. Thanks be to God. And so there are hopeful signs for which we give thanks and praise to God. We see there is something happening. There is something happening. But this means, brothers and sisters, our work is all the more important and urgent. This means we don't just like take a break. We need to continue this work of evangelization, of proclaiming God's kingdom, because the world is waiting. The world needs us to proclaim his kingdom. As Christians, we're called to proclaim that there is a better way. There's a better way, that we have a Savior who loves to save, that the road we're called to take following Jesus Christ is a more narrow path, yes, but it's utterly worth it. It's utterly worth it. And that's why Jesus sends his disciples out, and then when they come back, he doesn't want his disciples to get caught up in the successes. We read how the 70 return, full of joy, announcing their victory over demonic power. They find the work brings them great joy. And Jesus acknowledges their success, and he teaches them to draw confidence from it. But see, he points to a greater reason for their joy. What is it? That their names are written in heaven. That their names are written in heaven. See, Christian joy doesn't automatically rest upon our achievements. It rests upon a deep sense of a relationship with God and a knowledge of the destiny to which that relationship leads. Eternal union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven. The joy that we'll experience in heaven. And indeed, a joy for which we get a taste, a foretaste, even now in this life. And we can find joy in discipleship, even when the journey is difficult. And in the same gospel, just after this passage we heard, we read Jesus say, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will." The Lord Jesus is inviting us, and we get this little peek into that intimacy he shares with the Father. This relationship which lies at the heart of the kingdom of God proclaimed by Jesus. And we, brothers and sisters, are invited into that relationship. That Jesus desires to draw us into that relationship with his heavenly Father. This highly privileged and intimate relationship with God. See, Jesus' mission flows entirely out of this relationship with the Father revealed here for a moment in this gospel. And for us as his disciples, those who are being called out on mission to proclaim his kingdom, we must understand that that same intimacy and relationship is available to us, and not only available, but necessary for us to carry out this mission. Only this knowledge of having this intimacy, this relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will keep us going along with Jesus toward the difficult journey that life can bring. Jesus tells us that discipleship will involve work, sacrifice, and even rejection. But he also tells us to rejoice in our labor. To rejoice in our labor. There are hardships, but there's also great joy. So today, brothers and sisters, let us look at the bigger picture. Let us look at the bigger picture to be excited like the disciples in this gospel about heavenly things, the joy that awaits us, and the joy that is ours now in this life in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us boldly proclaim the kingdom to the world as we receive from this sacred altar the heavenly food that strengthens us for this mission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.